This Sunday, May 3rd at 3 p.m., Albany Pro Musica and Orchestra Pro Musica will fill the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall with a special season-ending presentation called This Luminous Earth. The performance will include Jake Runestad's Emmy Award-winning Earth Symphony and Morten Lauridsen's sublime Lux Eterna. To preview the concert, I spoke with Opalka Family Artistic Director of Albany Pro Musica, Jose Daniel Flores Caraballo, and chorus members Sujata Murdy and Bill Crankshaw. First up, Maestro Flores Caraballo. Jose Daniel, welcome back to the roundtable. It's always marvelous to see you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into this season-ending concert, how has the season been?
It's been a terrific season. As you know, we are the chorus in residence at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and this season started different because they were under construction. So the first concert was in Proctor's, but after that we've been at the hall, which is such a delight. So the Christmas program was full to capacity. The last program was a great success. And in fact, this season started with something unusual, which was the Pro Musica International Choral Festival, which 2 years ago we had it in Canada, and this time we came to University at Albany, and we had the big concert at Skidmore College. And so that was, in fact, the concert that started the theme that has been mentioned in every concert this season, the theme about the earth, protecting the environment, and so on. So it's been a wonderful season. The audience very excited. The chorus in a great place. The orchestra fabulous. So I'm happy.
I'm glad. And I'm sure that this phenomenal program that you have, that you'll be presenting at 3 p.m. on May 3rd at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, will, you know, fill people's hearts, fill people's cups, and bring the season to a glorious end. Do you want to tell us about the program you've put together for this Luminous Earth concert?
Yes, of course. And it's a closure to very much anticipated, because we've been building up momentum toward what this concert is going to bring. As I mentioned, we started with a work called Emergent Universe Oratorio, which was actually the seed that was planted in creating the curiosity about this subject. But now we are going to conclude with Luminous Earth. And what we decided to do was to put together three works that are very significant. We would be opening the concert with the Earth Symphony by Jake Runestad. I'll tell you more about that work in a moment. Then the second half opens with Mahler's Adagietto from Symphony No. 5, which is one of the most memorable and favorite pieces of all time that the audience will be in great delight to hear. And then we follow with the unique Requiem by Morten Lauridsen that is called Lux Eterna. Now, there's a reason for this sequence. The Earth Symphony is a work designed to make people think and reflect on our role with the Earth, this place we call home. And in a way, that piece that Mahler wrote works as an epilogue to this piece. It's a moment of profound meditation, but it also works as a prelude to the Lux Eterna by Lauridsen, which is the kind of piece that captures the human spirit in the way it's written, in the way it's sung, in the way it's played. It's just so, so intimate and so unique. So I think the audience is up to a concert that will be evocative and that will be meaningful, that will be inspirational, and people will be just delighted to be there.
Let's check my translation on the Lords in Peace. Eternal Light?
Correct.
Yeah.
and precisely that is the sequence of the concert. The concert begins with the light of the earth talking, which is what happens with this work, is the earth talking and how the earth would feel about the things that affect her. That piece, in fact, begins with a movement that is called evolution, goes to another that is called ambition, and then destruction. And after destruction, we go to a lament. And then we go to a recovery, the moment of recovery. But then Lauritsen is going to bring hope back. And the way that work is written is in a way in which I imagine seated in the audience. Actually, I've been in the audience for someone or some other group performing this, and I can almost see the light coming through the music. I think they relate incredibly well.
Is the prose of, you know, the sung prose, obviously the choral work of the Earth Symphony, in English?
Yes, the text is in English.
The text, that's the way to say it, right.
It's a poetry. And in fact, let me just, for the audience to get an idea, let me just tell you how it starts and how it ends. So the poet begins saying, "Forever alone, 4 million years of empty space and dormant stone, then you were born, humankind." And that's when then the whole story evolved. This mm-hmm. is all the work of a phenomenal young poet, Todd Boss. So after he goes through describing the ambition of humans and the damage that we bring to the earth and how we fall and the destruction that the atmosphere creates, and what happens on movement 4, which I will keep it as a surprise, and people will discover that when they go there. But enough to say it's called lament.
Mm-hmm.
But then comes the recovery. And the recovery ends with this. The earth saying, "There will come a day like the first day, so heavenly, so clear. Mirabilia," which means a miracle. "You would love it here." And it's a way for the poet to say, yes, we could be creating some real troubles here on Earth. But nature has a phenomenal way to recover, and we have to hope that that will be the case, and even that there might be hope for humankind, I would say.
I hope that there is hope for humankind. Is the when you say that you can hear or feel the light coming through the Lords in Peace that finishes the program on May 3rd, is that in instrumentation, chords, specific melody, pace? How does the light come through that piece?
Well, I tell you what, last night at rehearsal, I could see the light again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the score here in front of me, and I can tell you exactly what it is. So there's a moment in the last movement. The chorus comes into a unison, which is a very unique effect when it's done artistically correct. And this chorus is very good about that. And while the chorus is doing that, the strings are playing the main motif of a chant that opened the piece. So it's bringing all these memories of how the piece started. And then the chorus is going, and I ask them to sing with a head tone, which is this tone, this timbre that they create that feels kind of mystic. And there they're singing Sempiternam, Sempiternam, right, which is everlasting, grant them peace. But then right after that, they begin saying Et Lux, which it means what? Light.
Mm-hmm.
Light is coming. They're anticipating the light coming. And that comes in a way in which they're interacting with the orchestra. The choir saying, "It looks," and the orchestra responds. And the choir says again, louder, "It's looks, it looks." And then the orchestra keeps building the momentum. And then the chorus says, "It looks eterna." eternal light. So it's a moment, even, you know, I know this piece and we have done it before, and still just thinking about this, I get goosebumps because it's very special the way it makes you feel, both as a performer and as a member of the audience. It's like you almost want to be, the audience wants to be on the edge of their chair and jump out of their seats even before we finish because of this momentum that is created. But, you know, I thought it was quite important to bring this sense of hope and these moments that we're living. We could, you know, focus on the issues we have with the environment and around the earth, and that could be a little bit depressing. It's important to talk about it, but it's also important to keep the hope for a better future, and that's what we're trying to do with this.
Opelka Family Artistic Director of Albany Pro Musica, Jose Daniel Flores Caraballo. APM presents This Luminous Earth at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall this Sunday at 3 p.m. Next, I'm joined by Albany Pro Musica singers Sujata Murty and Bill Crankshaw. Murty is an assistant professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences at UAlbany. She studies climate change through the analysis of coral reefs, and she joined APM this season. Bill Crankshaw has been singing with APM for the last several years and sang under founding conductor David Griggs Janauer. Crankshaw recently retired from his role as superintendent of the Johnstown School District after a long career in education, and now leads the Clark Scholarship Foundation in Cooperstown. Sujata Murty and Bill Crankshaw, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bill, you have been with the chorus for longer, so we'll do 10-year leading. How did you connect with this chorus, and what does being in a community chorus mean to you?
Well, APM started for me about 25 years ago when I sang with the former director, Dr. Griggs Janauer. And for me, as a music teacher at the time, it was really important for me to engage with a high-level performing group so that I could sort of walk the talk, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So for my students, I could become a model for them in performance and choral technique, and I certainly did learn that.
So, Jetta, how did you find your way to APM?
Yeah, so I moved here about 5 or 6 years ago, and I've kind of had my eye on APM since I got here, and I wanted to audition for quite some time. So I finally did that in the last year. I just joined last kind of summer, fall. And I am a scientist by trade, by career, but I wanted to be an opera singer first. And so I actually went to a boarding school centered around the arts and studied classical vocal performance. And ended up going to a college that was partnered with the conservatory, Oberlin College.
Heard of it.
Thinking, yep, I would kind of, yep, do both, and eventually found my way more toward some research and science, and realized that, you know, singing was more of a passion, but I always kept it in my life, sang in choirs throughout my whole career. And I kind of developed this passion for art science outreach. And so, you know, I took a break from formally singing for a while and wanted to rediscover my voice, you know, musically and artistically, but also kind of through this lens of art science outreach and communication.
The program that you're presenting upcoming, This Luminous Earth, has a science, you know, element to it. It is about taking care of the planet we live on. Could you, you know, speak to how this piece and your science career are kind of meeting in your hobby?
Yeah, I was thrilled that this just happened to be the year that I joined APM. I think that was very fortuitous. I'm enthralled by the piece musically, but I also think it's incredible, an incredible experience for me to be able to sing such important and big works that can connect people and our communities emotionally to the things I study scientifically. So, I've had the privilege as a scientist of going out in the world and seeing the beauty and seeing, this inspiring, amazing earth we live on in these remote locations. I've also seen the destruction that's happened, on a very personal level. And I think what's cool is, the Earth Symphony piece in particular really speaks emotionally to both of those kind of aspects of what we're going through with the climate crisis and the emotional response many of us have to, the environment that's changing around us. And so, for me, it's very special to find a more unique, a different way to connect on the things I study. I'm a climate scientist, an oceanographer, and so to get to sing about that is really, really cool and special.
It seems, and yeah, like you said, incredibly fortuitous.
Yeah.
Bill, you were nodding along as she was describing the import of the piece. Would you speak to what it means to you?
I was, when you think about the theme of this concert, Luminous Earth, there is light and there is hope in both of these pieces, in particular the Lux Aeterna, which I have sung before and I've conducted for students. First, I got turned on to Morten Lauritzen and this idea of eternal light through Ornato Lux, which is a movement within that piece. And I don't weep easily, but this was the first time of hearing this piece years ago, almost 2 decades ago, that I actually heard one of these pieces by Morten Lauritzen, wept. It sort of changed my whole approach to educating children and presenting music to them. And I thought if it had this much of a powerful impact on me, I needed some way to convey that to my students and was able to do that years ago. And it's just so nice that the audience is going to have the opportunity to connect in the same way.
When you encounter the same piece throughout your career over a number of years, you have changed as you through time as you meet it. Do you find different things in different performances or different things conducting versus singing in a given piece?
That's a wonderful question. I think we all evolve. I think it's a really wonderful question because we do all evolve, and what a piece means to us, or whether we're teaching it, whether we're singing it or performing it, or whether we're in the audience, to be honest with you, there's a different impact in the process of either singing it, listening to it, or studying it. And I would say I'm changed each time by some of these pieces that I've sung or taught. Repeatedly. And it's nice when you can come to a piece with more maturity or a different perspective. It's almost a new piece to you each time.
So, Jada, how do you approach preparing to sing a piece with the chorus? What is your method for preparation? What does the chorus require?
So I study a lot and practice a lot at home, because I'm picking this back up after some time. There's the preparation musically, but because I connect with these pieces so personally, there's also this emotional component for me, especially with this program. I've actually been going through my old field photos and looking at, the things I've seen and, the lots of the things we're singing about. I've seen in the wild. I've seen albatross. I've seen whales. Just out in nature. I study coral reefs and corals, and so I've been kind of having this emotional response. And every rehearsal, I'm kind of going through my own personal and career experiences in addition to, working on my vocal technique and learning the music. And I think that's important so that I can, bring that emotional response into how I sing and into how I'm connecting with Jose Daniel as he conducts and hopefully with the audience next weekend.
Could you tell me about seeing an albatross?
Yeah, they are huge. They are enormous. So I did a cruise in the Southern Indian Ocean. We lived on a ship for a month, and we're just in the middle of nowhere, no land nearby. And these albatross will fly around all day just looking for food. And so when they see our ship, they get really excited and they'll just kind of like fly around and hope we throw them scraps. And they are enormous birds and majestic. I also learned they don't eat Cheeto Puffs, so maybe we shouldn't eat Cheeto Puffs because the birds in the wild that are starving won't eat them. Maybe they're not good for us.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say that's fine more for me, but you make a point.
I still eat them, so I didn't learn anything.
Now to be a bummer about them, what are some of the environmental challenges that the albatross face?
Yeah, you know, I think with many of our, organisms on this planet and with ecosystems, I think there's a threat to ecosystems and the habitat that they exist in. They live in parts of the world that are quite remote where there isn't a ton of land available to them. And so as things like sea level rise are happening, as temperatures are changing, there are threats to habitats. And I think, much of what we sing about is the reality of that, not just for the albatross, but also in, land-based ecosystems and other parts of our oceans. This is a widespread problem in different ways, depending on where you look.
Is there anything you want to make sure we let audiences or listeners know about this concert and this piece before I bid you adieu?
One of the things that's really important as we think about environmental change and how we sing about it and respond to it, as a professor, as an educator, and a scientist, something I've learned is that, we have to hold on to optimism and hope. And, I think that these pieces do a really nice job of incorporating both some of our anxieties and stresses about what's happening alongside hope and optimism that we do have the power to make positive changes for our world. And, I would really like to communicate to the audience and anyone listening that it is possible for us to still work together as a global community to make positive changes.
You, Bill?
And just to tag on to that, I think beyond the physical, I think light and hope, that hope, that eternal hope, they will continue regardless of what physical passes, including ourselves. And so I think that's a really well-balanced message. You've got the physical and the ethereal. And for that, I think the audience is in for a real treat.
It has been fantastic to meet both of you and talk about this concert. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
Thank you for having us.
Albany Pro Musica members Sujata Murty and Bill Crankshaw. Before that, APM Artistic Director Jose Daniel Flores Caraballo. This Sunday, May 3rd at 3 p.m., Albany Pro Musica and Orchestra Pro Musica present their season-ending concert, This Luminous Earth. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at WAMC.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're